traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, I don't know how to use
it. Why don't you just show us right now?
Okay, I'll show you.
Why don't you just show us right now how to use it?
No, stop. Whoa. Live audience show.
They care about the people, and I love
them. Mike, come on!
We changed our honeymoon plans. We were going to go to Naples, and then we canceled, and we came here for the show.
It's just way more interactive. I felt like I was a part of the show.
Getting to take pictures with Logan, getting to watch it live, every single aspect of it was amazing. I definitely come back.
Oh, wait!
Wow! Let's go! Columbus, Ohio.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Oh, I love this! And our first ever live audience show. Guys, we don't know what the we're doing.
No clue.
This is a test. Maybe we go on tour one day and we do live shows like this. George opens up with a stand-up comedy act and we travel the world and visit fun people like y'all because, again, 316 episodes in,
Is that right, 316?
Who's counting,
man? I have no idea. Sorry. I'm sweating.
We don't.
Yo, today I would have an excuse. You have no fucking idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, these lights are 1,000 degrees, I'm not going to lie. But no, it's cool to see the work that we've put in and the audience that we've built, you guys, in real life. You know, you become more than just a number and we can connect with you. And I would come and say hi and I touched some people's hands already. But ladies and gentlemen, I got fucking pink eye again.
As he said, I just touched everybody's hands.
Y'all should actually wash your hands.
Bro, the kid in the front row, George, is like,
oh, that's fucked up. I can see it. That's conjunctivitis, buddy. No, look, this actually isn't my fault. Columbus gave me pink eye. I'm so prone to pink eye.
You gotta stop eating ass.
No.
He always blames it on the dog. He's like, it was Quinn.
You eat the dog's ass?
He was sleeping on my pillow. That's what he said.
I do. I think that's true. Is that possible? Because the dog, his butthole kind of gets on my pillow sometimes.
Yeah, and then 100%.
I don't know. Why don't you go like, hey, shoo.
No, I even flip my pillows, bro. I have a full routine to avoid conjunctivitis, except I have a chronic pink eye. So, yeah, sorry for touching y'all. Go seek help.
Yo, how about that George Janko opening act? So originally each of us were going to do like an opening thing. I was going to read a drug seminar for you, like an anti-drug, because I used to do drugs.
Did you know that?
I wrote a book about it.
Did y'all know that Mike used to?
And Logan was going to box a random member of the audience, but for liability purposes, we just... Oh, I see a couple hands out there. Holy
what the
shit.
Why does everyone
all against you?
I don't know if you should be offended or excited. They're like, no, we've seen you fight. I'll do it. I'll get on stage.
Ouch.
I'm sorry.
Ouch.
This is my last show, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, no, it's not your last show, but someone is getting fired.
Yeah, so the one thing that wasn't planned was the impromptu workout that happened before George's set from the producer that was dancing around up here. We didn't plan that. That was Dylan. Let's do a round of applause for Dylan as well.
Guys, thank you.
Hope you guys liked him because he's actually fired. So that was today's his last show. He's gone. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
No, it's a joke.
Hear it every day.
By the way, I love
they
how
go,
invested they were on
the
thread.
They go,
I'm fine every day. What?
Yeah, no, but Columbus bested us, guys. We are down bad. We went to Town Hall. I'm sure you've been to Town Hall. Went crazy there. Went to Seesaw. The club needs a better name. It's fine. And Georgie.
They wanted a story.
Yesterday we had no material.
And so we got it last night.
Everyone has that friend that cannot handle their alcohol.
I don't drink.
It's not about handling
George,
alcohol.
George, I don't drink.
George quite literally does not drink. How many people in this room remember their first drink? You were probably, how old were you?
First of all, none of you guys should be.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even
You're
see
12.
Enough, I didn't even see enough hands go up. How old were you when you had your first drink?
I heard seven.
Seven.
I did hear seven.
I did hear seven. So, like, when you go out with people and they're in their 30s, your assumption is that they, like, they understand, like, what the outcome looks like from drinking alcohol. So, 3:30 a.m., I go to George's room last night. I walk in. He's like, hey, come to my room, man. I go in there. I find this kid buried under McDonald's Postmates. I mean buried. Nuggets. I got all the sauces, man. So, I go in, and he's like, hey, man. Do you see how many margaritas I had tonight? 7, 8, 9 margaritas. And I was like, George, you didn't have more than one and a margarita and a half, bro. Max, dude. He's like, no, you can ask anybody. I had 9 margaritas. And you know what, Mike? And he's talking to me. I had my first Natty Light probably 25 fucking years ago. And he goes, I like drinking. and in my mind, I go, you're not going to like it tomorrow.
Dude, hangovers suck. So I didn't want to drink, but Ohio made me. You guys turn up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy who drank at the age of 7.
Yeah.
You guys turn up. But nobody gave me the memo. Nobody told me that when you drink, it hurts when you stand up.
Yeah, I know. I've been saying
like,
this.
What? I didn't know, so I'm throwing back these drinks, and I didn't stand up yet. I didn't stand up until I had to go pee. Yeah, they see it. For those of you that need a visual, this is me. Ready?
Okay, guys, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Oh, that really happened.
It's great physical comedy.
And by the way, he's not joking. We walked out of the club, and he was laying in with a traffic cone on top of him.
It is true. No, yeah, I found him face down. Like, he had already left. We sent him home. He was that friend again, like the one that's belligerently drunk, sent him home. And I walked outside, and he's face down on the concrete on the sidewalk. George Janko's face down. So I went. I did the firefighter's carry.
I forgot about that.
Okay, yeah, of course you did. That's called being blackout, brother. Did the firefighter's carry, and apparently when I got him back to the Uber, he was with my new assistant, Caitlin, who's a sweetheart, by the way. Y'all might maybe have seen her run around. And Caitlin tried to get you back home. She ordered a couple Ubers. Two of them saw how drunk you were and passed you. They canceled the ride.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't pick him up.
They canceled the ride. So
they didn't find it funny when I was screaming, running towards them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Uber! And they're like, no, it's not. And they just fucking.
So a valet guy.
By the name of Sky, by the way, shout out.
Yeah, Skyler or something. Skyler Smith. Shout out Skyler Smith. Offered to give George and Caitlin a ride home when he got off. And not only that, Georgie insisted they go to the McDonald's drive-thru. Took an hour, evidently. And this fucking guy paid for the meal. And insisted that George didn't pay him back.
Dude, I don't know. It's Ohio, bro. Every time I come here, you guys are the greatest people I've ever met. I've ever met. And I'm not even saying that. I swear to you guys, are so fucking unbelievably sweet. I was like, no, please, like, take my... I said, no, please, take my car. And he's like, no. He's like, and then he paid for it. But when Logan said, like, it took an hour, guys, they went to the club. And I got to the hotel after them. Yeah. That was crazy.
I was concerned. We made it back, though. It was all good. We made it back in one piece. A lot of action from the team. David, the German videographer.
Oh,
let's go, David! Oh,
David, the German videographer.
David, the German videographer, has been on a bit of a rampage lately, sexually, man.
He found himself,
bro,
sort of as a man, you know? Like, he got that thing.
I don't know where he learned it from, bro. Who's he spending all his time with, this fucking kid? But he's been on a bit of a bender lately. And last night we were at dinner at Town Hall, and I looked down the end of the table, and there he is with this beautiful woman chatting it up. And then out of nowhere, he just disappeared. Where'd you go?
Yeah, where did you go, Dave?
For 30 plus minutes.
Oh, where did you go, Dave?
I don't know. Went on a little walk down the street.
You dirty German. We love you, Dave. We have some funny Davids in our group too. Y'all know I have a stepdad named David. Y'all know I have a stepdad.
He's basically the polar opposite of David the German. Like the exact opposite end of the spectrum.
Mom, I didn't want to tell you this, but we're doing a segment on your husband. Your brand new husband.
Brand new. We've been married 18 years.
That's how long you've been married?
18 years, Logan.
That's your stepdad, asshole.
That's stepdad.
This guy's like, what? That long? No
dude,
way.
Dude, growing up, Greg convinced me that he was evil.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's usually how it goes when the old husband and the new husband, you know, meet up.
No, so I haven't been counting the years. I remember crying at the wedding. You know, it's a new dad. It's a new dad. You're not sure what's going on. And plus, your dad's Greg Paul.
Logan,
that's scary.
You were playing the recorder with a rose in your mouth dancing at our wedding.
That was because you fucking gave me shots.
No, I gave Jake shots because
how old were you?
He was nine. 18 years ago, you gave Jake shots at the wedding?
No, I gave him a
beer.
He
was 4 years old.
Okay, so Ohio's nuts.
What the fuck?
George, what did you say David looked like? It was the best comparison ever.
Oh, he always looks like a cop that pulled you over. That's just not having it.
He's a pissed off cop. But no, he's a very successful doctor, an ear, nose, and throat surgeon. And I don't know how he can hang the way he does. Even like, if y'all see my Instagram story today, my mom turns up. My mom turns up. But David does not.
Nope.
He's the most like calm, like
this is how he sits every time. Right. I love these actions that I do, right?
Constantly over it.
While she's above him dancing.
And it's crazy because mom, you're such an angel, and I didn't expect you to have this fun side. Now that I'm an adult, like y'all have that moment where you take your first drink with your parents. Or you get drunk with your parents and you're like, oh, this is who you actually are.
Yeah, we hid that from you.
Yeah, evidently. And I'm glad you did, by the way, because I probably would have been more of an alcoholic than I probably already am.
But she turns up, like, we have a new term for it when she gets too drunk.
Yeah.
We call it pammered.
She's pammered.
Oh.
I love that, actually.
She was on the table last night. Oh, wait. Screaming at the bar.
I had a fake take an Adderall.
What?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Wait, what?
A lot of Adderall taking in this state.
Addies.
Oh, did you say? I thought you said you had to fake it.
I did fake it.
Okay, so I heard you right.
Yeah.
Elaborate. Please.
I was trying to impress some girls.
That's not, those.
What girls are you hanging out with that were like, what, you want to see me concentrate? Watch me focus on this.
So it actually keeps you awake. Did you know that?
No, I don't take Adderall.
You are a child. I love how you don't know anything about the adult like drug and alcohol world.
I'm not a child. I'm innocent.
No, you're not.
He's a Christian. He's a good Christian.
Nah. Not one crowd member. Woo! All of you going to hell. All of you. Now it's too late.
Nah, I had to do it. So I did magic when I was younger. And you know, like sleight of hand when you do stuff with your hands. So I did this one trick when I was younger. I'd put something in this hand and I go like this, and right, but it's still in this hand. And I'll just put it behind my back and slip it in my pocket. It's probably still in my pocket, actually. But I did that with the Adderall, and like, I followed through, man. We did the throat thing, water and everything. And I realized the lengths at which we go to impress girls is absolutely ridiculous, including, I'm just going to say this. I was posed the question yesterday by one of these women. Do you know how a tampon works?
Who do you hang out with?
No, listen. I'm gonna ask you right now, George.
Okay.
Do you know how a tampon works?
Yes.
No fucking shot.
I do know how a tampon works.
Explain it.
Okay, so what you do is you remove the plastic, right?
No.
Okay, I don't know how to use a tampon.
Why don't you just show us right now?
Okay, I'll just fucking show you.
Why don't you just show us right now how to use it?
No, stop. Whoa.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Imagine no, he actually, stop.
He actually
does it.
Wait, hold on. Brother.
Okay.
It's not going to work.
You're never drinking again, George.
It's not going to work. No, this is a genuine question. Guys, males in the room, raise your hand if you know how to use a tampon. I see five hands.
One of them's a girl. Yeah. One of them was a girl.
This shit is like figuring out how to pilot a rocket, dude. Mikey, do you know how? I kind of expect you to know.
So you stick the whole like device in there,
go,
right?
Go, brother. Please.
And then you stick the whole device in there, right?
No.
And then I think you use like a pair of pliers on this on this side, and you yank on it. And this, sorry, it's been a long night, and you know, you push on it like that, hard though, like bang, and it shoots up into the butthole.
No.
Oh, it's not even in the.
No, see, this is what I'm saying, men are stupid, and we don't know anything about feminine
products. Can I ask though, what is the point for a man to? Like, whatever, like, unless a girl with no arms runs in, guys, please, I need a man here who doesn't know how to.
You are going to offend another marginalized group.
That's my job. That is my job.
Well, for all the women with no arms, we love you.
There was a marginalized group that also wouldn't know how to use it. Women without vaginas. That was another group on the marginalized list.
I just don't.
Do you remember that?
It's riskier doing these jokes live.
I'm so glad we took your phones.
Not for me.
We took your phones.
Can I show you one more thing about this that I learned? So again, I was shown and a couple of other things, like there's quality that happens. Like some of them are really quality, some of them are really shitty, and there's sizes as well. There's like what size tampon is like apparently a.
Oh yeah, because you could be a heavy flower.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, flow based on flow.
By the way,
a wide set vagina and a heavy flow. It's a thing.
I can't wait till one of them gets asked. Oh, so how was the show?
they taught me how to use a tampon, but no, they didn't, because I still don't fucking know how to use a tampon. But I'm gonna get graphic ish, because y'all don't actually know how this thing works. Okay, so. Once it's in, this is where it gets really interesting.
Oh.
Watch the way this absorbs liquid. I found this fascinating.
Oh!
Great choice of color, by the way, for the...
It spreads its wings like a...
Like a little
like
angel.
Like a little butterfly.
Like a little angel.
Who wants the tampon?
Yo, there's
toss
no
it out.
Way.
Sickos.
Toss it out.
Sicko.
Toss it out.
Ugh.
Oh, the girl with the fifth vital book caught it.
she has to be on drugs for her to be like, I want that tampon.
Yo, have you ever been about to hook up with a girl and she's like, hang on a second, I have to run into the bathroom. And then she comes back and you go into the bathroom after her and you see a
pile of shit?
Nope.
Dog, I'm sorry.
That happened to me once. The store. I don't even want to. You see a bloody tampon in the garbage.
Well, what do you expect, Mike? That's just, life, brother. That's
okay,
life.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. I pretty much know y'all's vibes. What would you do? And I mean, if I walked in
and I saw it, I would just turn on the shower and be like, sweetheart.
Wait. I don't understand. Why does it matter? What do you mean? What do you do? You carry on with your business as usual.
You?
What are you talking about?
You just go in there and just create a grim.
Where is it? Is it
scene?
Is it in the?
It's in the garbage, but it's.
Then
it's,
what's the it, deal? It's, if it's in the receptacle,
it's inundated with blood.
Inundated with blood. I see what you're
and
saying.
And then you go into the bathroom, you come back out, and she's like sitting there, like ready for sexy time, and you know that as soon as you enter that hallway,
yeah.
It's gonna be like walking in on a homicide one.
I know.
Like end of life shit.
I just feel like we've all been there.
I love Jaws, so I
feel
like shark attack it.
I feel like this isn't abnormal. What did you say?
Nothing.
What did you say?
I said I'd shark attack it.
What does that mean?
Dun-dun.
Choke.
Dun-dun.
Oh, you would actually.
Wait. I'm just kidding.
Will you actually go down?
I mean, bro, yeah, because that's beautiful. That's a female's, you know, situation, and I'm there to support all of it. I was hoping for like applause. Thank God.
He's not serious.
No, I think he is. No, I think, especially with his girlfriend Belle, y'all do some freaky shit for some Christians.
Yeah, put that shit out there, man. I mean, she's French.
You can still be Christian.
Yeah, but she's French, bro. Even the way they kiss normally is just all tongue down your fucking side. I'm like, I'm going to get to the mailbox. Relax. I'll be right back.
It's fun. It's funny because I know she loves kissing.
She loves public. I hate it, bro. Yeah. Because, like, bro, it's so wet. Like, especially the way she kisses it.
I was like, damn, if making out was too much for you, I know you're not eating girls out on their period. You're a liar.
You're a liar.
Yo, but you want to know the good thing about intercourse on periods?
Is dude, somebody's here with their mom.
18 in here? Or no,
I think it was a 17 plus.
Well, I was going to say the good thing is that generally speaking, this isn't scientific. Maybe Pam could jump in on this, but I think you have less of a chance of getting a girl pregnant.
I researched this. I researched this.
And the reason I bring it up is because I think my videographer just got a girl pregnant.
Oh shit, David.
So I know we were talking about that rampage that he's been on lately, dude. And it kind of came to a head yesterday.
Nice.
When this girl online posted a story and he responded to it. Oh shit, it's my baby mama joking around. And then she said something that I won't read. And he said, well, you did skip the plan B, so who fucking knows? And she said, LOL, I wish you knew what I was going through. And he said, so I got you pregnant is what you're saying. And she said, well, she didn't say anything. She sent a picture of, shit.
Oh no.
It's a positive pregnancy test.
Do we know it's not a COVID test?
Can you imagine that, bro? Bro, can you imagine that? He probably was like, baby, listen.
No.
We can go to Dusseldorf. We can get the house there for $50,000 and raise a family. Fuck Mike.
No way. He got her pregnant so he could get a green card. That's why he got her pregnant.
He's crafty. That guy's crafty. I'm always so curious what he says to these girls. Yeah, but enough of all that. We just dove right in. Yeah. Pun intended.
I'm so sorry.
Why not?
I have some questions. I'm curious about human behavior, and I have humans in this room, and we always joke about doing polls on Impulsive, but we never put the polls up, like ever.
There's a poll at the top of the screen right
There's
now.
Never it's a poll never at the top of the screen, but we have you here, and I just want to ask some questions about like life, and just like raise your hand on whether or not you do it or don't do it. Start off with a little easy one. Do me a favor, raise your hand if you sleep with water or some sort of liquid next to your bed in case you wake up.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Prime.
Okay, come on.
With Prime. Same, by the way. I have 3 bottles of Prime next to my bed at all times. Okay. That's about half. Okay, cool. girls. How many of you think blue balls don't exist?
Virgins.
That actually makes me happy. I thought the number was going to be higher. I have girls tell me that sometimes, and it upsets me.
What does that mean?
There are women out there, those 6. Her, she rose her hand. Look at her.
What do you mean by doesn't exist?
Let's talk about it.
Well,
she thinks it's manipulative, which I hear that.
Do you want to know why I think you think that? You've never had blue balls before. I assure you. If I could tell you what it feels like to have your nuts in a clamp like this and they're kind of going inside your body a little bit, that's what blue balls. She said I didn't know anything about the tampons.
Remember like the tampon thing? It's pretty similar. I would say.
I don't think so.
I'm gonna agree with her just because she seems really nice.
Maybe childbirth.
Childbirth
and blue balls.
Okay, ready for this? Have you ever stubbed your toe on a coffee table?
Yeah,
okay.
It's the worst.
Now imagine that was repeated until you ejaculate.
Hold on a second.
Wait, I'm so sorry, guys.
Stop. Yo, it's not that bad. Yo, not childbirth. No. Blue balls is not that bad, but it does suck. It's way no, you don't say that. No. It does suck. I experienced it one time. It was like crippling, to be honest with you. But
one time
really bad. Oh. Where I was like, okay, this is like a real thing. But I do see how you some women may think it's manipulative. Some guys, like, you know, they want to go that extra step, and you're not there yet, and he's like, oh, I got blue balls. Like, yeah, fuck off.
No.
Oh, you want to hurt me? You did this to me.
That's not blue balls. That's just a manipulative, horny guy. The blue balls I'm talking about is you're getting head while driving. You're getting road dome, and you get pulled over, like, 10 seconds before you blow. Like, that's blue balls.
Didn't that happen to you?
No, the officer knocked on my window. By the way, why are we throwing out all my sex experiences?
Well, we were going to talk about weirdest hookup spots. That was one of the things Dylan threw.
I don't want this to be too sexually charged. I really don't know.
Yeah, because that would be so unlike impulsive.
How many of you think Mike is the father of Lana's baby?
Everyone? I'm really not. I'm not.
Okay, all right. Do me a favor.
Baby's not even white.
Scream out some answers for this one. What'd you say?
The baby's not white. How could it be my baby? It's like very dark. It's not white.
Mike, there's something I gotta tell you.
You son of a bitch.
All right, just scream out some answers. Imagine a cheesecake, okay? Cheesecake Factory, by the way, when I come to Ohio every single time. Imagine a cheesecake in front of you. Where do you take your first bite? How many for the tip?
I would say.
That makes sense. How many, like, on the back end to get the crust the first time? See, I got some of those, too. I saw a girl do this the other day.
All of you guys get pink
eye. Y'all weird, dude.
Weird. Yeah. Weird. That's like eating a hot dog, like a burrito.
Yeah, sideways.
But who eats a burrito like that, and why did I say that?
Well, I watched you eat a hot dog like that today for content.
It was for content.
What else you got?
This is the last one, because this one actually bothers me. Mattress, sheet, comforter. Raise your hand if you sleep on top of your sheet. Fuck all you people.
No, stop. Stop. At least, yo, if you're under
the sheet. Why is the sheet there?
No, stop. If you're under the sheet, how many people sleep under the sheet, but with it still tucked in at the bottom of the bed? Nah.
I got one worse.
That's called prison. That's called prison for your feet. Your feet are in jail at the bottom of that bed.
I got one worse. When you have a selfish fucking partner that you wake up cold as shit and they look like the return of the mummy, just wrapped. And I'm like, share.
Call it the burrito. They roll it up. They roll the blanket up. It's horrible.
That's me. I also throw punches in my sleep, dude.
What?
Yeah. I've committed assault in my sleep.
It's funny because you never throw them in the ring.
It hurts more when I'm in Ohio for some reason.
I'm so sorry. I love you so much. I love you so much.
I was going to say that, but I'm like, that's too mean.
I love you so much.
I need a fucking win, dude. What the fuck? Dude, people are like, yo, you're a boxer, dude, right? You fought Floyd? I'm like, bitch, I'm fucking 0-1-1. I don't even have a win, dude. Shout out Jake.
Put some respect on our name. Facts. Yo, but you hit Floyd with a little barrage at one point.
Hell yeah, and I put it in the intro of Impulsive, dude.
He took me and George out of the intro to put his barrage in.
No. I just made sure your clips were very short. Very short. Until he pays me, he's staying in that fucking intro, dude. What you got?
Dude, so much stuff. You just got pulled into a reggaeton beef. Is there any reggaeton fans out there?
You're in Ohio, really.
Shit.
I love that.
You are in Ohio,
I saw one person in the back go like this and saw no one did. They just put their hand up.
But maybe give Kevin the mic, because you might be able to help with this one. So,
do you know what's going on?
Do you know about this?
No.
So he got pulled into a beef between J Balvin.
What?
And Residente. Do you know who Residente is? He's got like 8.2 million on Instagram.
I know J Balvin.
Okay, so they have this ongoing beef. And Residente put Logan in the diss track against J Balvin and called J Balvin the Logan Paul of reggaeton.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
The Logan Paul of reggaeton.
But what I will say is any beef that you need a translator for, that scares.
Fam, I was reading this article. Well, sort of. I was translating this article one paragraph at a time, going from the all Spanish article to Google Translate back and forth, trying to figure this out. And like, I'm just going to fucking say it, dude. I'm tired of being dragged into shit. I don't even do anything anymore, dude. Like, I've wiped my hands of all the drama. Keep me out of your shit, resident.
Yeah, it's resident.
This guy's apparently a big deal, Kev.
I've never heard of it.
I need you to do your research.
Yo, I tried to watch that rap thing. It was 8 minute long, bro.
It was an 8.5 minute
track. 8 minutes long, bro.
You need to represent the Latino community, bro, for us on this side, because I don't know shit, bro.
Bro, I just don't know who Residente is. Wow. I know J Balvin.
You're saying he was in a diss track from an unknown.
Damn.
Bam. Now he's coming after you.
You're getting clipped, brother.
Kevin. I'm sorry.
being out here in Columbus, wow, what a beautiful city, by the way. What a beautiful city. Dude, we've been here for two nights. George is on death's door. You spent the entire day pretty much on death's door. This is a test. We're thinking.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
About bringing this thing on the road. We're thinking about going on an impulsive tour.
By the way, when you see us on our phone, we're reading notes. Please don't think we're just texting up here. Because George is judging me. I see his eyes.
That thought scares me. Can you imagine a 80 city tour where we just go out every
All right, next.
And George is drinking 6, 7, 8 margaritas.
By the way, brother, you had 3.
No. Don't do that to me.
1.5 max.
Don't do that. You guys are supposed to make me look good, bro.
You already look good. You're fucking good looking.
So, you need a haircut.
I definitely drink a lot though, because I just got into margaritas and they're delicious. They're delicious. Does anyone drink margaritas? They make me want to dance, like all the time.
Bro, you're like what, 29? You're just figuring this out?
I think that's beautiful.
Oh, I wanted to wait in for a while because look, you guys look tired.
By the way, I know your timeline now. I figured out your timeline. You drink this much of the margarita, which by the way is absurd, and you're already like pretty tipsy.
Still not making me look great.
And then, well, there's no problem with being a lightweight, but there's a problem with being a fucking pussy.
Guys, why does my hand hurt?
Oh, that.
Bro, I woke up this morning and I was like, yo, I broke my hand.
Wait, so look. Okay.
I have the video.
Let me go through the
top. Oh, you have a video?
No. Don't show that video.
Can we at least say what was happening?
Fuck it. All right, listen. But wait. So your timeline's this. You drink a little bit. You have about 1 hour of being a lot of fun, like the life of the party, and then you start to get tired quick. And then to combat your crash, you drink more, and now you start to black out. That's what it's your pattern.
That, you should know. Okay, now I'm sorry. I get that now.
While you were blackout, you insisted we all go pee. We were in the bathroom, private bathroom, little in the side, in like the corner of the basement of the parking garage, like some real grungy shit.
Of a bar we didn't mention tonight, by the way, like a completely different bar that we didn't mention.
And you say it, bro. I'll get fucking canceled.
Well.
What the fuck did I do?
Well, no, it's not what you did. Well, we were in the bathroom, and listen, I'm gonna be honest with you guys.
I don't think we should say this.
No, I'm gonna say it. I don't give a fuck about anything. I used to smoke crack.
It's not even bad.
Listen to me. I smoke crack. I used to smoke crack, and I like having sex with porn stars. I can say whatever the fuck I want to. Okay. We were in the bathroom. We like to do everything together. We're like three amigos. There was one toilet, but there was also a sink and a garbage can.
Oh, thank God, bro.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna fucking do? Dude, we do things as a squad.
You're all three. You're gonna pee in one toilet?
No, dude. George filled up the garbage can. Logan took the sink, and I took the toilet. So.
You see why we took your phones now?
That's not canceled.
Why does my hand hurt?
All right, so get to it. So we. So I had just taken a blue chew, and I had blue balls, and I asked him. So I had
like, Mike, come on, bro.
No.
It's nothing. I was washing my hands, and I went to go get soap from the dispenser, and it didn't come out, and you found that offensive. You're like, yo, that's my boy Disperse, motherfucker. And you started throwing combinations on this dispenser.
You ruined it.
Turns out this shit is like titanium. Like metal, dude. You boxed it off the wall, and it was like loud, way too loud. You hit it way too hard. And Mike and I looked at each other like, that? Like, that looked fucking painful, dude.
Bro, I woke up the next morning, grabbed water, and I was like, ow!
Another side effect of being drunk.
100%.
I always get hurt. I broke my hand when I was drunk. I make the worst decisions when I'm drunk. I should stop.
Does anyone know about how that happened yet with the hand? Because we have other things.
Do you guys know?
They're going to see the first of.
Okay, there you go. That was so easy.
What do you think?
Should I do it right now?
In the thing or the story?
Yeah, I mean.
Go to the thing first, and then maybe we talk.
No, it kind of all lead in.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck.
All right, I'll take it from here. So we were in Hamburg, Germany, and there's a large red light district there called the Reeperbahn. David, am I saying that right? Reeperbahn?
Reeperbahn.
It's just,
We were hanging out with a bunch of absolute fucking lunatic Dutchmen, one by the name of Jesus.
Jesus. He's the German rapper who had that video go viral where he broke the bottle on his head.
And all his boys had like... 47s are breaking up coke in the YouTube video. I'm like, who are these people? Guess what? Now we're hanging out with them. In Hamburg. With David, the Dutchman.
In the red light district.
In the red light district.
Do y'all know what goes on there?
So we didn't partake in any of that stuff because we're not those types.
Tell them, dude, it's prostitution.
There's
women in windows like you're shopping, like just waiting to be prostituted.
Guten Tag. They said Guten Tag.
Prostituted.
Do you want me to touch your penis?
Mike almost got swindled, dude.
I did, dude. They were hot here, bro. They were fucking hot. I was like, wow. Anyways. So we're walking, or we're going nuts. We're partying. We're at this place. And this is, I'm sure you guys remember this part of the impulsive journey where this kid was in the fucking bag. Like, people were genuinely, like, worried about him. Like, his skin was hanging off. His fingernails were, like, 18 inches. He looked like a vampire, dude. Like, it was over.
It was when I would come to every episode high or drunk.
Trash.
Or hungover.
Acid.
And the comments are like, yo, this is actually getting out of hand. And it was.
Kind of. But also at the same time, like, he was working on this project that you're about to hear more about and all this stuff, right? So we're spending this night on the Reeperbahn. We're going bar to bar with all these crazy Germans. And we go to this one bar, and there's these fucking German Hell's Angels standing at the door. And we're with security. And Logan walks up to the door, and they go, you can't come in. We're having a meeting. Like, bro, you know who Hell's Angels are, right? Like the crazy biker dudes. He goes, I'm going in your bar, and I'm going to pee in there. You're going to let that happen. I'm like, bro, this kid doesn't care about his life anymore. Like, he's literally trying to press German Hell's Angels. So security goes over. They get him. We go to the next location. Guess what the next location has in it? One of those little punching bags. Well, you have to take it from
I see one of those arcade punching boxing machines. I got to set the high score. I'm a fucking boxer. I got an ego. And that's my thing. We travel. You know the boxing game, you press the button, the bag slings down, you hit it, it gets you a high score. It's my thing. Dude, I do it everywhere. I'm a boxer. That's all one and one. Fine. What?
I heard aloe.
I heard yellow.
Oh. It's the red light district, not yellow.
And so, you know, my ego is flaring up, as Mike described. I hit the button. Boom. 916. The high score is 922. Wait, what? How is that possible? I'll do it again. That was a warm-up.
Sir, before you hit the bag again, I must tell you, this wall is broken for a reason.
The bar was no bigger than a small closet, and the bartender made it very clear after he saw my vigor with the first punch that many men and women have broken their hand on the column next to the game. I said, guy, I'm a boxer. I go, I'm not going to hit the fucking wall.
What he didn't tell him is he was a blacked out boxer.
So I go again, 9-16. I'm like, what, 8 away from the high score? Now I'm getting upset. I go, who set the record? He's like, oh, the owner of the bar. I'm like, fuck it. Obviously, like, bro, this guy probably took a baseball bat to it. Fucking cheater. Whatever. Doesn't matter, bro. I'm a boxer. Like, that's what I keep telling myself, right? I'm like, I'm going to do this. And so, you know, fourth try, fifth try. Now my friends are like, yo, we got to go. We're like running around Germany having fun. You're being like an asshole. And stop. So I move the bench now. That was, again, in this little tiny room. And I get a running start. I go up.
Happy Gilmore style.
I hit this thing as hard as I can. And sure enough, I hit the fucking column exactly where he said I would. He goes, brother, I've seen bones. I'm like, whatever, dude. And there's like, it's funny. This is really German. There was like 4 napkins this big taped with like duct tape on the spot that everyone hits. like it's any sort of cushion. I hit the napkins. Immediately I knew I shattered my hand. I didn't know how bad it was. It's very bad. I did not set the high score, which was the worst part about all this. It was actually my worst score. It was like 9.06. Rushed to the German hospital.
Well, no, you didn't rush. You didn't rush. At first, we had about a 30-minute filming content session where we were making jokes. You can see my bones. You can see my bones. Take an Instagram. Look at this shit. This is crazy. Should I hit it again? Should I hit it again? I'm like, bro, what the fuck is good? 10 more shots.
Yeah, man, you know, Germany. Germany. And it's always when I'm drunk. And so, yeah, I got to the hospital, and they're like, dude, you shattered your third metacarpal on your hand. It's the most important joint in your hand. And for boxers, this is a career-ending injury.
You were like, what career?
I was kidding. You're much funnier now than you were in your opening. I want you to know that. Brutal. No, but that's what I said too. That was kind of my thought process. I was like, whatever, bro. I'll just make fucking vlogs again. Fuck that. But now, you know, it was very hard to hear. It was very depressing, especially, you know, when you're drunk, like hearing things like this. And I guess just to go into a more macro type situation, that period, that latter half of last year was a metamorphosis for me. After I fought Floyd, I had a bit of a what now moment, right? Like, where do you go from there? Do you keep boxing? Do you put on another prize fight? How do I continue making myself happy? Everyone has this, right? And I had just done something that I had wanted to do my whole life. My whole life I grew up, and I said I wanted to be the biggest entertainer on the planet. And after that night, I felt like that box had been checked. And so I didn't really know where to go next. And for the next 6 months, I invested myself into the unhealthiest habits I possibly could. I smoked weed almost every single day. I would drink with my friends. I'd ride around and just have fun. I was having so much fun. Like, people would send me messages on Instagram. They're like, you look so happy. And I really was. Like, something about that carefree abandonment of anything and just living was so fulfilling to me. It made me so happy. I was always living in the present. I had never been more present.
Yeah.
And it was so nice. And you guys may have heard me talk about this project, whatever, that I keep referencing, and how I dedicated a portion of my life to this project because of this radical letting goism, if you will, which is a term my friend Mac coined. It was me surrendering to life and seeing what would come. And one day I was at dinner in Puerto Rico, and I don't know how else to describe this. I felt the finger of God touch the most creative part of my brain and activate me in a way I had never been activated before. For a creative, this is very exciting. I'm a creative at heart. It's how I make all my content, conceptualize all my ideas. And I would think of an idea and another idea would come and another idea would come. And I came up and conceptualized this project that I believed was my magnum opus. And I want to show you guys the trailer for it right now.
We actually just watched it for the first time, so you guys are watching it the same day that we all got to watch it.
Never before seen. Yeah, absolutely never before seen, probably seen by five people on the entire planet.
Yeah, this could be a, I mean, I don't, it's not done. It's a rough, it's not a bad idea, but like, I wanna show you this project, and when we do a little Q&A at the end, if anyone has questions about it, because during this half of last year, when you saw me traveling everywhere in the world with the biggest smile on my face, it was because I was doing this project that I'm about to show you. Little preface, little context, just a little. It's called 99 Originals. You may have seen me running around with this little Polaroid camera. Right?
What's it for? Why has he always got that thing?
And yes, it's an NFT project. But it's so much more. It's so much more. I believe it's going to take NFT from 1.0 to 2.0. No more cartoon monkeys. Real art with substance, quality. And
and a story behind it.
An incredible story behind it that I will get into, I guess, right now. Let me pull this up. I
it's probably already rigged up, yeah?
Yeah, I
stop picking your nose, Dylan. I saw that.
It's humid in Ohio.
What does that have to do with your nose, Dylan?
When you get so
Logan,
nervous.
As you do that, I just want to invite the people that are sitting over here. If you guys can't see the screen, feel free to like sit in the middle on the floor just for the video.
Sit in the middle of the floor. That's how we're treating
you. Take a knee.
By the way, while we're setting up, you know the mask like halfway past your mouth is not working, right?
Wait, let me see.
She had it like right here. Like half of her mouth is out. Uh-huh. You have COVID. That's 100%.
You shamed her into taking it off.
I'm
kidding. What's wrong with you?
So again, this is a rough. Don't judge me. I feel like I can do this with you guys and show it to you because y'all are our people. And like I said, I haven't shown this to anyone. My creative group, they haven't even seen the full thing. I only played them the latter half because we're still working on the intro. For any creatives or filmmakers in here, you'll see. In my opinion, the first half needs some work. But it's a little vulnerable for me. Again, this is a piece of my life. I sacrificed everything that I had for this project. You could not get a hold of me. I lost friends damn near. Mike and I got in like six arguments. My family was upset with me. My mom couldn't reach me. And so I put everything aside for this project. It's called 99 Originals. And here's the trailer. Let's...
Yeah! Goosebumps, bro. Just watching some of that shit back, dude.
Did you like it? Sick.
It's just funny just seeing that, even some of those scenes and like what it means to us to like watch that. What, God forbid what it means to you, but just having been along for some of that journey and seeing it and being a part of it, it's like, it was life changing for me. I can't even imagine what it was like for you, bro.
I found myself, you've heard me say it on past episodes, this past year, 26 years old, finally, I know who I am. I figured it out. And this project was that metamorphosis for me. Again, I pushed my mind and body to the deepest, darkest depths, but in there was fucking light, and it was beautiful, and I captured it, and as you can see, probably, I was in a bit of a manic episode, just running around taking these pictures.
It was a nightmare. It was a fucking nightmare. It was the worst thing that ever happened, ever. And being friends, Mac, George, Pam.
Why y'all shaking your head?
Kevin, God, Kevin, every fucking day. Iceland, Dubai. I mean, it was some of these places.
Everywhere, yeah. So I traveled 85,000 miles. I took 4,120 Polaroids. And I just want to talk a little bit about the release structure because I do think this is important. So I think they're going to be released over a period of 99 days, one per day, because each image does tell an incredible story, and I journaled every single thought I had in that time. For the first time, I'm going to let people into my mind with these journal entries, and they're all one-of-one NFTs. So they'll be auctioned off one per day for, you know, probably 99 days, maybe a little less, on originals.com. And the holder... the buyer of the NFT gets the physical one-of-one Polaroid. So you know, you're combining digital art with physical art. And I think there's something amazing about the juxtaposition of an extremely traditional form of art in film, especially instant photography, right? What you see is what you get. These photos are unaltered, unedited. And putting it on one of the newest, most modern technologies, the blockchain. And some of them too, this is where it gets cool. So for my crypto nerds, I'm just gonna dive in a little bit here. Some of them come with utilities, special utilities that make the photo have inherent value. So maybe for the one of Jake boxing, you get to come in the locker room with us for the next fight, right? Little perk. Maybe a little more where the buyer gets an actual NFT, maybe a World of Women, or something that, again, has inherent value, a CryptoPunk. You buy the NFT, you get the CryptoPunk, you get the original Polaroid. And then some of them I'm gonna go crazy on. I think I'm gonna give equity and Prime away to some of the holders, which is absolutely absurd. But my goal here is to help evolve this space, because I do believe that the NFT Web3 metaverse space is headed to one of one art. You know, we see the cartoon monkeys and everyone's like, what the fuck is an NFT? And it's a cool way, again, for me to merge these worlds. And where this gets crazy, deep dive, this one's kind of for the holders, the buyers, but I'm just gonna do it. There is a DAO component attached. Decentralized Autonomous Organization. So, if you are a holder of one of the 99 originals, you are also a member of the originals DAO that will have access to a treasury where we will do proposals and decide what to do with the money. So again, I'm gonna sell these, but only half of my personal profits I'm gonna keep. The other half goes into what's called a community treasury. So hopefully this treasury gets a significant amount of money in it, and the members of the DAO can decide what to do with that money, whether they want to invest in assets, whether they want to fund artists, whether we want to throw big events in big cities all over the world. If we want to buy a fucking jet that members of the DAO can charter, we can do it. If we want to fund independent movies, this is a big idea. This is Hollywood 2.0, right? The DAO can do so. And so, if you're a member of the DAO, it is this little bit of a prestige, an exclusive group. We can invest in stuff. We can donate money. I'm going to donate a lot of this money to philanthropies in the project. And again, each piece tells such a significant story, and I'm so excited to release it. I think it's coming out March 26th, and I'm having a little trouble just wrapping my head around all of it because there's so many components, right? I've been talking for like 10 minutes about this same fucking project, but I think it could be my magnum opus. If I continue this journey, magnum opus being my masterpiece or my life's work, because I had this fear that if I passed away without having made a body of work that truly represented who I was, it would break me, made me very upset. So now I finally have something to represent who I am, what I'm about, what I've learned, and it's 99 Originals.
Are you, and there's going to be a full doc as well, detailing the journey, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, you know. I don't know. Some of these stories are so significant. I mean, you know, we have 99 days of the craziest fucking footage ever. And it features, again, you only saw like a couple in there, but some of the biggest names in culture, moments in history, beautiful pieces that make you think. Maybe some are commentary on society. Maybe some are, again, culturally significant. Who knows? It's vast and it's grand. And thank you for listening to me rant for 10 minutes about my passion project. Thank you. I'm still taking the Polaroids, by the way. If you see me running around with a Polaroid, hop in one.
You guys remember the Polaroid camera? Every time he would be out, he would have it with him. And also, for a while, he had a cast on his arm, and everybody was like, what's the cat? Well, you guys know what the cat is. You guys are the only people in the world that know that story.
Yeah.
But we had to leave Hamburg with this. He had this cast on his arm, and we had to go to train stations, we had to go to airports, yeah, and cover the arm
to Iceland and hide this arm. It was a whole—
remember you made me get completely naked in front of a cow at Stonehenge?
What are you talking about?
There's a lot of nudity in this.
I think the naked human body is fucking beautiful. I think it's so cool for someone to be vulnerable in that way. And I love highlighting it in my art because I never have before. And I convinced a lot of my friends to get naked.
No.
All of your friends. A lot. All of our friends are naked. A lot.
I just think it's a, you know, your birthday suit. It's how you came into this world. Like David, the German videographer, we were in Iceland. I had this guy run along the black sand beach in Iceland, butt ass naked. And before he did it, I was like, bro, I know this is weird, but this is going to be a very liberating experience for you. Like, soak it in, yo. Go do shit. Do things that are outside of your comfort zone. Live. I said it in the thing, but life isn't short. You just got to do more. So any chance you get the opportunity to go do something that maybe pushes you outside of your comfort zone or that you haven't done before, I say do it. Because you may discover a piece of yourself that you hadn't before, and who knows what can evolve from that. Yeah. Holy shit, am I a motivational speaker?
What are you?
What the fuck?
What are you?
Yes. I love this.
What are you, Yes Theory?
This is so cool.
What am I, Yes Theory?
Should we seek this convert? Shout out Yes Theory. But dude, honestly, it was a wild journey and brought us to like the craziest places. And there were so many like awe-inspiring moments where like, we get to do a lot of cool stuff anyways, but just being in some of these like exotic places like that Black Sand Beach in Iceland or like at Stonehenge.
And yet somehow, Ohio's still my favorite. Somehow.
When I found out we were doing this show here, it was the first time we ever announced that I was going to do stand-up, so I was so nervous. But I was actually really excited that I was here because I always have such good energy. I really do love you guys a lot.
I can't wait until we get to Alabama and you're saying that same shit.
No.
I've always loved Alabama.
No, then George would actually be dating his cousin over there, huh? Alabama. He's dating his cousin.
Oh, is that true?
Yo.
We do have a couple here that's on their honeymoon. Why did y'all choose to come here? Raise your hand, the honeymoon couple.
Here they go.
Is this your honeymoon
please,
event?
Please explain.
Yes.
What?
Yes. We were supposed to go to Naples, but we came here.
To this event.
Yes. You were supposed to go to Naples, Italy?
Naples, the
Florida.
Finger Lake region. Yeah, in New York.
Oh, yes, beautiful.
We canceled, and I said, babe, we got to go see Logan and Mike. And
we have a special.
Let's go.
Kiss.
Wow, we're perverts. We're so perverted.
Wow.
We have a special surprise for you, by the way. Yeah, I don't know what it is, so don't get too excited. But I promise you, it could be a few hundred bucks. I just want to give him something.
Yeah, someone give him money. I can't believe you came here instead. I love you.
I'm a video game streamer, and I'm a TikToker, and I just respect what you guys do so much. I really do. I've been watching since the Call Her Daddy podcast came on the show, and sure. I love you guys so much. So thank you for inspiring me and being you.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for spending your honeymoon with us.
That's so cool.
Yo, I don't know. We kind of were planning, like, a cadence and how much of the show we wanted to dedicate to each thing. And honestly, like, the thing that I've been most excited for when considering these live shows is this interaction.
Yeah.
And I honestly would love to just throw it out to these guys.
I agree.
Unless
who's got questions? Raise your hand.
I mean, I'm sure there's so much out there. Like,
there's also Waldo. Did y'all see Waldo run?
Yeah. What's,
around?
Yeah, like, where's Waldo?
You know, it's so funny. I was looking for him and I couldn't find him.
Oh, there's that motherfucker. There he is. Where's we found him. We found
if you got a question, raise your hand. Question, raise
your hand. Yeah. Let's do a little Q&A. Please have this question directed to George because he left.
Logan, Mike.
What's up, brother?
Monongahela, PA. Good to be here in Ohio.
Let's go.
Nice to be. Nice. How did you decide on today to be the day to launch your 99 Originals? What was the process to get to today to be the day that you launched it?
To
launch it, but to announce it to us and to the world.
To show the trailer?
Exactly right.
Yeah. Again, the project's kind of, or the trailer's a little Play-Doh right now. Like, it'll evolve a little bit, but I wanted to get live feedback from a group of people that appreciates us. You know, like, every time you put anything out there, you post, you hit that publish button, it's a little scary. A lot of people are gonna judge you. And this is the first thing I've made where I'm like, yo, I care about this. This project means everything to me and I feel safe here. Ugh. It's so weird to say.
You got your little safe zone?
Yeah, it's my safe zone. And yeah, we're still figuring out the intro, so maybe we'll use some stuff from today, which could be cool, but that project's going to be so good.
Another question right here.
Hi, I'm McCaden.
What up, brother?
Are you guys ever going to fight, or is Logan ever going to fight again, and who would you fight?
What, you don't think I'm ever going to fight?
I don't think so.
I'm fighting for my fucking life.
Yeah, yeah, I will. I will. I'm training again. This is my first. I've been working out for 5 days straight, which I'm pretty pretty proud of. Stop laughing. I'm getting back into it.
I shouldn't laugh. You have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. If you're waiting to work out, yo, day one, day two, day three, those are the most important days.
You know why? I want to look good for WrestleMania, honestly.
When is that?
April 3rd. I want to have a six-pack. I want to have a six-pack of Speedo, dude, when I'm flying off the top rope. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Who had a worse fight last night, Masvidal or Deji?
They both suck. I don't know if I agree with that. I think they both had tough opponents. I think, you know, obviously Covington has a crazy ground game.
He's a dog,
right? And so I think Masvidal, I mean, I don't think he did the worst I've ever seen. Deji, you know, Deji puts all his heart into these fights. He really does.
The fight. I'm sorry.
He didn't gas, at least.
It's not that. There's a want that I just don't see.
Yeah.
I think he knows it. It sucks.
It sucks.
I love the kid.
I know. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's always been so good to us. But I don't know. Maybe boxing's just not for him or me. Like, I get it, Deji. Yo, brother, let's quit this fucking sport.
That's so funny.
Let's get out of here, dude. What else?
Hi, my name is Haley.
You sound like an angel.
He's so adorable.
Wait, are you up there? Haley. Hi, Haley. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
My question is for Big Mike.
Hi.
I bought your book. My dog enjoyed it. She ate it.
You didn't read the book. Your dog ate it. Fantastic.
I read it and she ate it. She felt like she needed to digest it.
Amazing.
And then the dog.
Oh, that's a good joke.
I wanted to know if you would make a second book going more into detail about more like your family struggles, what they felt about it, like how your relationship is with them now, your journey to like recovering that healthy family.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question. So book two's in the works, for anybody who read book one. I've been working with an agency and publishers to try to get it off the ground, prior to writing it. So I'm about four chapters in. Right now, and the way I'm currently thinking about it is it's going to be a deep dive into what it's like to actually live in this life. And so there's a lot of things that even me, I'm scared to talk about on this show in my safe place, which is with you guys, that I would happily put into writing. And as you know, if you read the first book, you know I didn't hold back anything. And I put my fucking life and my soul and my blood and created that body of work that you talked about earlier and put all that shit to fucking bed and made myself feel like I put something out that mattered. And book two, you know, is going to be a little bit wilder probably, but I'm going to take that feedback and make sure that Mom and Jill and Abby are included in it because you want it in there. So I'll make sure of it.
That's so cool. You just affected how he's going to write his next book. Mike, before the next question, Mike is a really talented writer. I'm encouraging all my friends to tap into that thing, right? And I've noticed with him his ability to put pen to paper and iterate really interesting thoughts or stories because his life is so interesting, or George is funny, so I convince him to be a comedian. Just real quick, I know you have a question. Just would you consider reading a passage from your book?
The new one?
You read me that passage.
I'm looking at Jeff. It's pretty fucking gruesome shit. I mean,
is there one that stands out? The one you read the other night was funny, but then again, I was fucking hammered. Jeff, what do you think?
Let me just.
He's such a good writer. I love hearing Mike, or if you don't want to, can you at least read your interaction with the Postmates lady you had from last night?
Those are so vastly different.
Yeah, but do one of them, Mike. I like the way you write, and I like hearing you.
Yeah, this one.
What?
Nah, this story involves some wanted international fugitives that we...
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, I can't. I need... A lot of this has to get cleared by legal and shit.
I mean, maybe. But that... That's the one I was talking about.
So, like I said, these are stories that are, like, I can't even begin to crack open for you guys that are as if for whoever read the first... Who read the first book? Oh, amazing. Oh,
awesome.
So you guys know how fucking gritty and nasty the shit is. Like, those stories still take place today at that nasty level, but just different shit. And so I'm going to share that stuff with you guys. I'll read the Postmates Driver message.
I just think it's a little more tame and the exact opposite note, and it was funny. this is not a passage from his book, by the way.
And by the way, this wasn't for content.
No, this is a pivot.
This is just something I just do. This is something I would just do in my normal life. I ordered about $100 worth of McDonald's for myself last night. I'm fat.
And stupid.
Both. It was about 3 a.m., but when I came back to the hotel, George said, I'm in my room with so much
McDonald's. Why am I a Muppet?
You can come eat it if you want. So I went in his room and I ate his McDonald's. So after I got back to my room at 3:14 a.m., I sent the following message to Sophia, who was picking up my Postmates. Sophia, listen, I don't want this food anymore. If you find a nice homeless person, please give it to them. But I want to especially specify a nice homeless person, not one of the mean ones. I appreciate you. God bless you. And I hope that all of your days are sunny and none of the grass in your yard is dead and no beetles fall into your swimming pool and get stuck upside down. You have to get them out of it with the skimmer, which we know sucks. And, you know, we do this all the time. We play this game with, like, normal people. Because we're not, I don't know if you guys know this, we're fucked up. Yeah. We're fucked up. So, like, she says, oh, my, are you sure? I'm in line waiting to get it. I feel bad for you paying for it and not getting it. And I said, well, Sophia, here's the thing. A while back, I befriended a popular YouTuber, and as a result, I got incredibly rich. I did absolutely nothing besides become his friend. That's it. And now, as a result, I have endless amounts of money. So honestly, the $25.66 isn't going to break the bank, but maybe it'll make someone else's night. I asked for all the dipping sauces, and that might just be the accoutrement to someone else's happiness. And she said, well, that's very sweet of you. I'll definitely find a nice homeless person in need of a nice meal. And I was like, there you go.
Yeah.
I like the way he writes.
Yeah. I love writing. I love writing. And guys, when I write, I don't sweat. I never sweat when I write.
Yeah.
I always sweat. Fuck.
Big boy, sorry.
No worries, no worries. I don't know how I can follow that. But first off, Steven over here has the Yeti hat that you gave out to a fan.
How do you have that?
What?
He's well, wearing it right now.
I gave out to a fan if I gave it to him. I gave it to you.
He's wearing it.
I saw that when I was giving everyone conjunctivitis. That's awesome. Holy shit, dude.
The fucked up Yeti hat?
Bro, that's my favorite hat. That is my favorite hat.
Do you give it back?
Wait, hold on. Do you remember what I said to you when I gave you that hat? Give him the mic. Give him the mic.
You said never to get rid of it or lose it.
And you still have it on.
Yeah.
I love you, Steven.
I love you too.
Please don't get rid
Steven,
of that. That hat has survived everything.
If you even knew.
Half what, of 99 originals.
I seen it on Maverick Club. You posted it on Maverick Club.
Yeah.
We were what? We were riding around in the back of a truck in Spain, and it popped off his head, and we ran it over in a truck, right? Is that what happened?
No. I mean, that did happen. That hat has seen things.
You okay, said whatever. It got so shot with a shotgun or something on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, while I was wearing it. It was just... Anyway.
That's amazing.
That's awesome, dude. Well, appreciate you.
I do have a question. My name is Jack. Over the course of the 99 days that you were recording that content, what is the most significant lesson you learned over that whole entire time period?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, it's a big one.
Oh, my God. I should have an answer. Fuck, I should have an answer. Huh? I guess that is it, Kevin.
Kevin.
Well, he was with me. Kevin has become a little Mexican brother to me, who I love dearly. And he was with me this whole trip. And so many times we were reminded that even though you have a goal and you want something so bad and you put your life into it, if you fall short, as cliche as it sounds, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And having to swallow that pill over and over and over again. Yo, the little clip of me taking Polaroids of the orcas, we traveled for probably 5 days. Five different methods of travel, so fucking north. I was so north, dude. And it was so cold. We were in Norway. The sun doesn't even come over the horizon. Do you know what that's like? The sun does not go up over the horizon. You get 2 hours of daylight. And the picture, the Polaroid from it, is shit. It looks like shit.
Don't tell them about Stonehenge, how fucking long we waited for that.
Yeah, no, but the journey was amazing. It was the most cathartic evolution that I had in the whole 99 days, and it was towards the end, and that kind of just wrapped it all together. And so it became more about the story behind the piece rather than, oh, I didn't get a cool picture of an orca. I just got a picture of a fin coming out because these orcas don't fucking jump, apparently. I thought orcas jump!
He traveled 5 days with no research.
Two more questions.
Hi, my name's Bree. So I have a question about kind of post-traumatic stress disorder. So I've been through some very traumatic events over the last 2 years. Do you guys have any advice on how to cope with things like that?
That's a great question.
Why are you looking at me? Like I know anything about post-traumatic stress.
Somebody yelled out drugs.
Drugs.
No.
Let me tell you about crack cocaine, all right? Here, let's get started.
No. I have some. You got some?
Yeah, I mean, you could start if you'd like.
I was just going to say this. What helps me with any sort of anxiety or things that freak me out, because I have them, I choose to bury them. And actually, funny, during originals, I was tapped into that emotional side where I was really feeling shit. I stay busy. I distract myself. I do things that make me think here, that I move, I work out, I'm always just like doing something. And this is, again, so cliche, but it is really true. Time heals all wounds. So you distract yourself for long enough, and eventually, who knows, through one of these experiences you're doing or these things that you're occupying your time with to stay busy, you might learn something that might hit a certain part of your brain that makes you have a different perspective about the thing, the trauma.
I gotta add to that. I think that the way that you look at those traumatic experiences in life will start to shift. And at some point in your life, you'll realize that it was the most important thing that ever happened to you. You know what I'm saying? And you won't look at it like this horrific event anymore. You won't look at it like it was something that rocked your world and made you feel sad or bad or betrayed or hurt or abused. You'll look at it as the cornerstone for everything that you fucking are. And everything that you build after that will be a result of what you went through. And if you can start to wrap your mind around the fact that it will be one of the most important learning lessons of your life and builders of the great things that you do and how you're able to help others as well, then you'll have a better relationship with it right away.
That's a great answer. Do you think it holds true for all types of trauma? I mean, right? Like, we don't know what you've been through.
I think, you know, I think your relationship with your stressor is important and your perspective on it. But I also think that it's important that you, and I'm preaching to the choir because I've definitely surely haven't done a good enough job of it myself. I think it's important that you do the rehab and take the necessary steps to talk about it talk to the right people.
One other quick thing for me. I acknowledge I started to not bury, just life is life, and what has happened has happened, and it will always be that way. And so acknowledge, accept, learn, use your pain to fuel whatever you do, and life goes on.
And eventually you own it, and it doesn't own you anymore.
Yep.
We got another question to the right.
What's up, what up, bro?
So I want to know, like, you had a lot of people in your circle over the years. I just want to know what makes this team so special. Not only Mike and George, but also your videographers and everybody.
Yo, that's a great question. I love all of these people, and they love what they do. This is a group of people who I believe, maybe I'm wrong, y'all, and we'll see how long Caitlin lasts, my new assistant. But when they come to work, they're excited to do what they do. Everyone's exactly where they're supposed to be. They fit a perfect role on their team, and it's a well-oiled machine, and everyone's enthusiastic about it. My community is my biggest blessing in my life. I'm surrounded by amazing people, and while we're here, shout out to our team, Dylan, Caleb, Caitlin, David, Kevin, Quinn. The dog sitter watching Quinn back there.
Yeah.
My mom, Matt.
Scott,
the security guard.
I mean, it's huge.
We got a great circle. And
I actually, I've
did you say Jeff? Yeah.
I hate my job.
Oh, fuck.
Shout out manager Jeff, dude. He honestly.
That felt super impulsive. Fuck you, Jeff. You know I love you, you motherfucker. Fuck, I fucking forgot Jeff. I knew I was going to fuck
Well, because
Jeff is me, y'all.
Yes, like, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's been so long.
Jeff's been with me for, like, what, 8 years now? So pretty much everything I do is, like, I feel like you're a staple. I should have said to you, Jeff. I'm the worst.
I love Jeff so
I even
much.
Looked around, dude, and somehow I just...
He looked...
Because you're wearing black, you're blending into the column.
I like how much... Do you guys love when Jeff comes on the show? When manager Jeff comes on the show? He's so funny, dude.
He goes, I hate my job. Jeff quits tomorrow.
When Logan was sitting in his room in Ohio in his little desk, Jeff was there. He hadn't even left his room yet. He was just trying to start content. You worked for, what was that first come? Studio 71. It was before that. Jukin.
I remember I asked him a question one day. I'm like, hey, dude, we've been like talking for some time now. And by the way, he's super monotone. Jeff, get the mic.
Hello.
Yeah. So like over the phone, I'm like, is this guy a fucking serial killer?
So that's what I was going to say. You showed me the contract.
I remember
like,
asking
what do you
him,
think?
I remember asking him like one day, I was like, are you my manager or agent and why? Like I was so new to Hollywood and still like.
What did I tell you?
I remember what he said.
You said, you need to watch Entourage.
Yeah.
And now you live Entourage.
What the fuck?
Right, that's wild.
And now you live Entourage.
No, I appreciate you guys. I love what I do and just love spending time with you guys. That's the most important.
Selfishly, can I get a round of applause for Manager Jeff? I love this guy. That's the backbone.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you yesterday? I said, man, it just feels like we can't stop leveling up lately. And I think that with this current team, I don't think there's anything that we can't do. I really fucking mean that, bro. Like, it's gotten wilder and wilder and wilder.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually have a cheesy story to say. I was in the hot tub in Arizona, and my sister looked at me, and I was telling her, I was like, man, my whole dream growing up was, this sounds kind of stupid, but growing up, I didn't have any friends at all, like zero. Like, I got made fun of a lot, and I would watch TV show Friends. And they always made me feel like I had friends. And I would hang out and I would just watch Chandler, Monica, Joey. And man, I used to be like, I hope I do this for somebody that's alone, that watches their content, like watches my shit and feels a part of it. And I said that to Jessica in the hot tub, and my sister looked at me and she goes, it's crazier because if you would have met Matthew Perry, or not Matthew Perry, sorry, like Matthew Perry. In the street, that's really not Chandler. Right? But when people meet you, it's you. And so I think my biggest blessing is that I got to do what I do being me with my best friends. And you guys came here to watch that. Like, that is the biggest blessing. I couldn't thank you guys enough for being here.
This is why George didn't have friends in high school.
You bitch! I said that in confidence! I've been, fuck.
Yo, look at this guy. What was this for?
I used to go to like walk-in agencies, and they promised me I'd be on Disney Channel.
They lied.
Fuck them, because I ended up on Disney Channel, bitch.
Georgie.
That wasn't going to be because
of. Is this your dad's coat? Look how big it is on you. Look how broad your shoulders are. You're 12.
I'm sorry. I didn't get one acting job, by the way.
Fantastic. Is there any other questions? Or are we done, Dylan?
I,
I think we should, we could wrap up maybe one more question and then give out some free stuff, take a picture.
Take one picture.
Take one picture.
I know we're not supposed to do this, but
here we go. Last question. Sorry.
I'm going to hang out with these people for like 15 minutes.
I'm gonna hang out with them for 20, bitch.
Just don't touch me, and I won't touch you.
You'll get pink eye.
Pink eye.
What's up? I'm Nathan. I'm from New York.
Let's go.
Cool to be here,
Nathan.
East Coast.
I was just curious of how you like get the motivation to move from new things to new things, like Vine, then to YouTube. Then you went on to do different movies and shows, and then boxing, and now you're in NFTs. Like all that stuff, like what motivates you to move on and like not give up on other stuff, but like that's not me anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it's a couple things, and this is where I may or may not become a bit unrelatable. So there's some things about me and my personality that lend itself to curiosity. I'm really curious. I like doing things and experimenting. I'm not afraid to be wrong, and I get bored. I get fucking bored. Like, how long can you do something before you're over it? And my attention span is short. And so, like, again, one of my other biggest blessings is, and this is the cheat code, I figured this out after 99, I'm only doing things I love. I get to say that, and I say that with privilege, because I understand not everyone is in that position, but I have manufactured my life in a way where I've put pillars in place that are pretty much holding up a household that is full of love, good people, creation, and things that make me happy.
Yeah. Facts.
I love the applause. That's so cool.
I was just thinking that.
That's so cool.
Dude, it's just so motivating to say anything.
That's so cool.
Dylan, do one more.
One more question. Where's the ladies in the house? Where's the ladies in the house?
Right, Dylan,
you're not a lady.
Dylan, cut the shit. Cut the shit.
Question.
You're not on Oprah, Dylan.
Cut the fucking shit, Dylan.
Hi, I'm Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
This one's for Mike. I was wondering if The Fifth Vital was like any closer to being a movie,
no,
or if that's still in
the
talks.
It's not. It's, dude, movies take so fucking long. It's like they're packaged. They have to be developed. They have to be, oh, should this be a movie? Should it be a docuseries? Who's gonna pay for it? Who's gonna act in it? Who's gonna write the treatment, you know, or the screenplay for it? It's such a long and arduous process. And honestly, like we did have We did have a good call this past week that I think will fast forward things a little bit. But I wish I had better news. Cause I want Adam Sandler to start getting ready to play me.
No. He looks too young to play you.
They brought up Centineo the other day. Oh, that was good.
Thank you. I love it. How some people are like, oh, that was good.
They brought up
how many of you, live poll, I was curious. How many of you think that when Mike turns 40, he should only wear suits?
How many people think I should do it right now? No, they don't like it. I've put the poll up before.
When like
I
business
no
Mike?
No when I put the suit on, they don't like it. Oh. They like homeless style.
Homeless style, Mike.
Yeah.
LeBron James OSU jersey.
Why is there a LeBron James Ohio State jersey? No, but he didn't go here.
He didn't go to OSU, did he?
No.
No. So what the fuck?
They do it sometimes.
He doesn't even play for Ohio anymore.
Tough loss.
Anyway, listen. I want to grab some pictures. When y'all leave, there's free Prime for everyone on the way out. Drink Prime. Stay hydrated. Do me a favor. Take one bottle. There's 300 bottles. We should have enough. Yeah, it's on the way out.
How do we best do
also,
this?
Also, before you guys leave, let's have you guys stand up. Everybody stand up. Kevin will take a picture way.
But yeah, before we do that, how do we best mingle with this crowd?
I would suggest come right here and high five.
I'm not doing that shit. I'm going in that fucking crowd.
So yeah. Come in the crowd, bro.
Can we get the house lights on?
House lights on. Brian, music, please. The walkout song.
Wait, before we do this. For the people watching online, we hope to see you in person one day when we come to a city near you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Hit that subscribe button. The first live audience in Columbus, Ohio. We love you. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org.
paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.